Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Ruth chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. So just follow along in your Bibles with me. And what we'll do is we'll read the chapter and then we'll just kind of walk back through pieces of this chapter. Now I want to remind you, if you're unfamiliar with the book of Ruth, it is history. It is a story about specific people and how God worked in those people's lives. So you'll catch that as we read this morning. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and had given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will not return with you. We will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she says no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. A lot here. We're going to focus in on two aspects of God's faithfulness this morning. The first thing we see here is that God is faithful to discipline when his people turn from him. At first glance, this may not be terribly obvious, but if you look at verse 1, says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So the Holy Spirit inspired the author of Ruth to give us a timetable here. This timetable lands Naomi and her family during the days of the judges, which if you just look at the page prior to the book of Ruth, you'll find the book of Judges there, which gives us a history of those days. And what we find during those days was a cycle of God, well, of God's people obeying God, then choosing to disobey God, and then God disciplining his people to lead them to repentance. Those people coming back to him, turning back to him, repenting of their sins, and then him blessing them once again. We find commands in Leviticus 26 of warning and encouragement for God's people to obey God. God told his people, if you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Then later on in the same chapter of Leviticus 26, he says, for your land, and this is in response to their disobedience, for your land shall not yield its increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. So there's two scenarios that God gives his people prior to the time of the judges. One scenario is God's people obey God and he blesses them. The other scenario is God's people disobey God and he disciplines them. And one of the ways he promised to discipline them, possible ways, was famine. So let me read the first verse to you one more time. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. We put the two pieces together, and what we have here is God and God's people are in a season of discipline. They have been disobedient to their God, perhaps worshiping other little g gods, idols. And God has brought famine upon the land for one purpose, to turn his people's hearts back to himself. And watch what Elimelech's decision was in the midst of this season of discipline. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So don't miss it. God promised discipline in light of disobedience for his people. There was disobedience of his people during the time of Judges. He faithfully brought discipline to his people to turn their hearts back to him. And Elimelech, as the father and husband and spiritual leader of his family, made a detrimental decision. Let's get out of Judah. Not, we need to repent, family. Not, we need to repent, town. We need to repent, nation. But me and my family are out. And it cost his family deeply. Deeply. Now I want us to think about something for a second. I want us to think about the way we're tempted to think about God's discipline upon his people. See, we smile upon discipline of children in today's world. When we see a disobedient child in Walmart or in the restaurant, and we see a mom or a dad choose to appropriately discipline that child, sometimes we want to stand up and clap, don't we? We're like, good for you, do it. Take them out to the car. And we smile upon discipline because we know in a family and in the life of a child, discipline is a good thing, right? But for some reason, when we come across God's discipline in his word and we come across God's discipline in our personal lives, we are tempted to go, wait, that's not fair. So we need to see it very clearly. God's faithfulness to discipline his people is a good thing. And God's faithfulness to discipline his people here in the time of Judges, and specifically here with the family of Elimelech, was the best thing for Elimelech's family. And Elimelech rejected it and went to another land. Elimelech's decision was absolutely detrimental for his family, and it was disrespectful, even rebellious towards the Lord, for him to take his family where he took them, to the land of Moab. Moab was known as, from its very inception in Genesis 19, as an enemy of God's people. We see Moab, the Moabites, function as God's enemies. We see God speak of the Moabites, excluding them for his people because of their idol worship. We even see the Moabite women seduce the men of the Israelites, and the men of the Israelites being seduced by them, choosing to be seduced by them. And God handing down discipline upon his people and upon the Moabites. And this is all history that took place before Elimelech's days, that Elimelech would have been very aware of. And where did Elimelech choose to go in the days of the Lord's discipline? But to the land of Moab. And it was detrimental. And we see in these first five verses that in the land of Moab, Elimelech died. And in the land of Moab, Elimelech's sons, Naomi's sons, also died. And it's worth us saying that not all tragedy, not all suffering is the hand of the Lord's discipline. It's not. But there are times when it is. And I think it's pretty clear in the book of Ruth that it is that. The Lord's discipline is good. It is his grace towards his people to turn their hearts back to him, even when they don't deserve to come back to him. And this isn't just an Old Testament concept. This is a New Testament concept as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves." So I want us to think on something before we move forward. As Christians, we need to take comfort in this truth, that God is faithful to discipline his people when their hearts turn from him. Because I know personally, my heart is wayward. I will turn from the Lord in a heartbeat, left to my own devices. And the truth is, so will you. And there is great comfort for me knowing that when my heart does turn from the Lord, my Lord will call me back to himself. He will stop me in my tracks if need be. And that is something to take great comfort in. That is something to praise God for, that he loves us enough to stop us, to discipline us. That is a good thing. Is it not? So let me ask you, Christian, are you going down a road in your heart, in your habits, perhaps in your home, where you are turning from the Lord? We need to realize something if the answer to that question is yes. That it's not just our own hearts at stake, it's the very hearts of our family. If your answer is yes, then be encouraged to turn back to the Lord today. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Unbeliever, I want to say to you, perhaps you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus for whatever reason. You have yet to give him your life, to trust him with your life. Know that the relationship that God the Father is calling you into is one where he will shepherd you as a father, where he will love you as a father. He is not calling you in to be perfect, but he is calling you in to allow him to be your Lord and to guide you, and to bring you back in when you go wayward. That is the kind of God we serve. God is faithful to discipline his people when they turn from him. It's good news. Perhaps not pleasant to experience, but it is good news. Which brings us to this question. What if you or I find ourselves in the same boat as Naomi? Naomi went along with Elimelech. She finds herself in the land of Moab, only leaving Moab because of tragedy. She has gone very far down this path of rebellion. So what if you find yourselves, or I find myself, or you find yourself days down a road of rebellion, weeks, months, maybe like Naomi, years down a road of rebellion? There's good news for us this morning. In the first chapter of Ruth, we find this truth that God, while he disciplines his people when their hearts go wayward, God also extends grace to his people. God is faithful to give grace when his people are farthest from him. God is faithful to give grace when his people are farthest from him. Look at verses 6 and 7. Speaking of Naomi, Elimelech's wife, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah." I want you to notice something. She is in the land of Moab, and she gets this news. After her husband has died, after her sons have died, her world has crumbled beneath her. She's standing in the fields of Moab trying to find food. There is no protection for her anymore. There is no provision for her anymore. And she receives some news that back in the land of Judah, her home, that she had fled because of the Lord's discipline, God has brought food to his people once again. So we see God's grace there in the land of Judah, but don't miss God's grace in the life of Naomi here. This wasn't the days of Facebook where Naomi was like, "I wonder what's going on with my high school classmates from 20 years ago. Oh, look, in California, God is blessing again." No, like Naomi just happens across this news that in the land of Judah, God has brought food to his people again. And that in itself is a miracle, that God has aligned the circumstances in Naomi's life that she would hear this news. That is grace. Grace. Wonderful grace. Look at verses 8 through 18. We see Naomi's conversation with her daughters and all. She attempts to convince both Orpah and Ruth, her daughters-in-law, not to go with her. "There is nothing in Judah for you. I am going back a widow. You are widows here. You will have a better chance to live here in your land than you would as an alien in my land. So stay." She says it over and over again. She repeats herself. "Go back. Return. Go back. Return." And Orpah listens, finally. She weeps, and then she kisses her mother-in-law goodbye, and she returns to her land and to her family. But Ruth does not. I'm not comparing Ruth to a dog here. She certainly isn't. But the scenario, the way Naomi is reacting to these two women, is a bit like the dog that you fed once in your yard and just won't leave. And you're like, "Just leave, go." Like, throw stuff at them, and you may kick them, but they won't leave. They just sit there and smile at you. And Ruth is faithfully staying with Naomi. Look at what she says to Naomi. I want you to hear it again. Verse 16, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried.'" To be buried with someone is to be someone's family. Ruth is not marrying Naomi, but she is vowing her very life to Naomi. "We are family. I am not leaving." I want you to see it. God has orchestrated events in Naomi's life so that Naomi hears that he is blessing her land once again in Judah with food. And then God sovereignly orchestrates the heart of Ruth so that Ruth, a Moabite widow, would pledge her very life to a bitter mother-in-law. "Your people, my people. Your God, my God. Where you will be buried, I will lay there also. Till death do us part, Naomi. I'm not going anywhere." Don't miss it. God gives grace to his people when they are farthest from him. And we see grace upon grace in Naomi's life from God. Extraordinary vow from her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Think about it. Ruth is a Moabite widow. She is a member of an enemy of God's people, and she is pledging to go back to the land of her enemies with her bitter mother-in-law. Don't miss that part. Like grace upon grace for Ruth, it would be like misery upon misery. I mean, she is vowing and making an extraordinary vow to Naomi. Do you see it? Do you see God's grace in Naomi's life? We need to see something also, that Naomi did not see God's grace in her life. Look at verse 13. "No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out to me, against me." And then flip over to verse 20. "In speaking to the women of Judah who have greeted her, she said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?'" Naomi is shoveling all the blame upon God for her circumstances. She's not just bitter, but she is embittered towards God. And notice what happens at the time when Naomi and Ruth arrive. In verse 22, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." So, grace, Naomi gets the news that God has ended the famine in the land of Judah. Grace upon grace, God moves in the heart of this Moabite widow to remain with her bitter mother-in-law. And then grace upon grace, once she arrives in Judah, they find themselves there at the beginning of barley harvest. Mind you, these two women are widows in the land of Judah during a time when, with the exception of very few ways women could provide for themselves, there wasn't really any way to live righteously and provide for themselves. Them being women and them being widows. And they arrive there, and they arrive there during the time of the barley harvest, which is the beginning of the entire harvest season, which means they would be able to go out into the fields and pick up after things were harvested, food for themselves. And it's a plentiful barley harvest, and it's the beginning of all the other harvest seasons. So they would be there for the entire harvest season to provide for themselves then and store up for themselves later. Grace upon grace upon grace. God is faithful to give grace when his people are farthest from him. And in God's faithfulness to Naomi, we get a clear picture of God's grace that we find in the good news of Jesus. A very clear picture. There's a host of New Testament passages I could read to you out of Colossians and Ephesians, but I'm just going to read one out of Romans 5:8. It says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." One more. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once, or who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So while we were far off, farthest off in our sin, dead in our sin, alienated and hostile towards our living God, God showed us grace. He sent his son to live the life we were supposed to die the death we deserve. That is grace, isn't it? He raised his son from the dead to conquer death on our behalf, grace upon grace. And those who place simple faith in Jesus, he gives eternal life, grace upon grace. And those he gives eternal life, he adopts as his children, grace upon grace. And those he adopts, he meets all their needs according to his riches in glory, grace upon grace upon grace. And those he provides for, he disciplines when they go wayward. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And he provided all of this while we were far off, still sinners, alienated and hostile in mind towards him. Similar to Naomi. Perhaps you're here and you find yourself there, not knowing Jesus, not trusting Jesus, but you know that he is calling you to himself this morning. I want to invite you to go before him as a beggar. God, I need Jesus to take my death, and I need his righteousness. Please forgive me. And he will. And you will be his for eternity. I want to invite you to do that now. I want to invite you to come forward as we sing so we can pray for and with you. Christian, is God disciplining you this morning during this season? Is God leading you to turn back to him? Would you turn back to him this morning? Would you? 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." Christian, have you allowed your circumstances in your life to lead you to be bitter towards your God and blind you to his grace? Perhaps you would ask the Lord to open your eyes to his grace in your life this morning. In church, regardless of where we stand today, we can sing of his amazing grace. That he has bestowed and bestowed and bestowed upon us through his son, can't we? I know we're over time, but if we could just take a few more minutes and just sing. Sing loudly and passionately about the amazing grace of our God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the grace you have given us in him. We thank you that while we were far off, you showed us grace in your son. And while we wander far off, you call us back to yourself through your good and loving discipline. And you continue to pour out your grace on us even when we wander off. God, you are good, you are great, you are mighty to save. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Thank God that yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. And I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in.